Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries, and we are going to do our daily devotional right now. And the name of this devotional is It Me, the Betrayer? And we're talking today about pride and honor and humility. And we're going to be speaking about that in our Suffer Well devotional series. And this is what sums up the attitude we should have as believers. It's suffer well. This is the attitude we should have. So I'm going to read the devotional, and then I'm going to do a little teaching about it and pray that we get it and we understand what it means to suffer well and what it means to be humility, as it says in the scriptures. Humility comes before honor, so or pride comes before destruction. So it's a very important concept to think to understand. Prideful people will never admit that they're prideful, right? Because they have too much pride. Humility comes before honor and pride before destruction. So keep that in mind, and let's read here now and pray we can all be humbled as we read this. So it says, when evening came, Yeshua was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. That's Matthew 26, verses 20 to 21. One of you will betray me. So this is Yeshua. Remember, the one they were following, exclaiming that somebody is going to betray him. So the attitude all of us all became, it says, let's continue reading. It says, 12 men, one would betray me. Tell me what you know about the heart or the mind of man. What was each individual's mindset after Yeshua made that statement? One of you will betray me. Search your own heart before you answer. Answer honestly. If you have eyes to see, here is what you may have come up with. Consider that this is what might have taken place that night. The immediate heart reaction of all 12 was that they were frightened and each thought, it might just be me. After moments passed, 10 of the 12 convinced themselves that they would never do such a thing. One after the other saying, surely you don't mean me. That was in verse 22. Notice I said, convince themselves. They are not really sure, as they full well know that there have been doubts about their entire journey with Yeshua, yet they inevitably see themselves as better than betrayers. What of the other two? The betrayer, of course, is deceptive. Surely you do not mean me, Rabbi, verse 25. He furthers his description by acknowledging Yeshua as teacher. He is exposed, yet is still in denial. What of the possibility of the last disciple having a different experience? He is the wise and humble one. He is not pointed out specifically, but Yahweh sees the heart of man, as said in 1 Samuel 16:7. And 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but Yahweh said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but Yahweh looks at the heart. This humbled one knows he is capable of the betrayal, yet he loves his Savior Yeshua. He feels every bit of his own weakness and longs to hold on no matter how wicked his heart may be. He is capable of love and deception. He is committed to his Savior, yet wise enough to fear his own heart. He is the silent one. He does not speak during this event. All of the others say, surely not us, Master. They call him Master, but the wise one is not so quick to speak. This one has judged himself. He has deep realization that only grace allows him to be at the table, and he is holding on with all he has. He takes no pride in his effort. He is afraid to leave the covering that has been gifted to him. He is to a betrayer, yet he believes in the offering to come. He knows that the shedding of blood is his own only hope. He longs to be brought. He holds on with all he has. And as I read this morning and I thought about the idea of humility according to what the scriptures say and the pride according to the scriptures. And I read James 3:13 that says there's two kinds of wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by their deeds, in the humility that comes from wisdom. The humility that comes from wisdom. And now we get to the deep bottom of the well, the deep bottom of the barrel, the humility, the humble. He does not judge the outside, but the humble. And it says, it talks about pride in the scriptures being one of the downfalls or one of the things people can't let go and let go of. Genesis 12:3, all the way at the beginning of the scripture says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. All people will be blessed through you. So as we read this, we go here to the New Living Testament. Here it says, I will bless those who bless you and curse all those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. We look at this all the way at the beginning of the scriptures. And humility is the key to getting this blessing. It's the key. It's Yeshua's pinnacle of his teaching, that we would humble ourselves so we could receive the blessing. And many times through our trials, just like in Job, he had to put Job through a lot of things because Job was very prideful. People say, well, what did Job commit if he was such a righteous man? But he was prideful. Righteousness doesn't mean not prideful. Humility is a whole different level than just righteous. Righteous is the works you're doing. Humility is the attitude you have while you're doing it. So we have to understand this. And as I discussed already, Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, pride leads to disgrace. Or some translations say destruction. But humility comes with wisdom. Humility comes with wisdom. So pride leads to disgrace, and humility comes with wisdom. The problem is many people don't understand the difference or understand pride and humility. They don't understand that. But Proverbs, which is another word for wisdom, 15:33 says, fear of Yahweh teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. The fear of Yahweh teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. So once you humble yourselves through the fear of Yahweh, that is where the honor comes in. So as we look at this again, and we see here in Proverbs 29:23, it says, pride ends in humility, while humility brings honor. So you have this scale of prideful people with a prideful heart. But then Yahweh comes into their life and something happens, and their pride disappears, hopefully. And then they understand humility. You cannot have pride and humility in your life at the same time. And the humility is what brings the honor. And we look at this concept. In James 4:10, it says, humble yourself before Yahweh, and he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourselves, and he will lift you up. 1 Peter 5:6 says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of Yahweh, and at the right hand, at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. The message is clear throughout all scriptures. And it was there too when we looked at this information that we read in the devotional today. All of the apostles or the disciples, all of them saying, surely not me. Surely it wouldn't be me that would betray you. But then the humble one that kept quiet. Proverbs 22:4 says, the humility and fear of Yahweh lead to riches, honor, and a long life. Colossians 3:12 says, since Yahweh chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves tenderheartedly, tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Kindness. Being kind is the key. No matter No matter how successful you are, according to the world's terms today, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much power you have in terms of your position at your job or wherever you are, even if you're a leader of a family, no matter what. A key example that proves a man or a woman of Yahweh is kindness. Kindness. And then the humility. Humility and pride do not exist. Kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. These are the things that it talks about in Scripture. It says in James 3:13, if you are wise and understand Yahweh's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. This is Scripture, folks. This is Scripture. When we look at the person that Yahweh spoke in the whole Bible, in the whole Bible, who'd Yahweh speak to personally more than anyone else? In the whole Bible. And we could say Yeshua, of course, the most humble being or the most humble person in a human form, so to say, because he is Yahweh. He spoke to him the most. But besides Yeshua, who did he speak to the most? And the answer is Moses. The answer is Moses. And it says in Numbers 12:3, now Moses was very humble, more humble than any other person on earth. And what did he get in return? He got spoken to and heard Yahweh more than any other person on earth. And at the time he was, but Yeshua ultimately took that. But it says in Psalms 18:27, you rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud. Psalms 149:4 says, for Yahweh delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. He crowns the humble with victory. And then Revelations 2:10 says, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer, for the devil will throw some of you into a prison and test you. You suffer for 10 days, but you remain faithful even when facing death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown to the humble. The crown to the humble. Let's take a closer look as we understand or we start to think about the prideful or the pride of Judas and the idea today of the devotional that we read, and we see what it says. We have to remember that Yahweh didn't make Judas betray Yeshua, but he knew he was going to do it. He knew he was going to do it. There are some so-called Christians or believers out there who do lip service and they're not truly humble. Some of them are pastors who even teach people. They're not truly humble. And we look at this and we look at Judas. And it says he was a greedy thief who betrayed Yeshua for money. He betrayed Yeshua for money. John 12:4-7 says, but one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and a keeper of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was put in it. Leave her alone, Yeshua replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 says, or do you not know that the wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men having sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanders, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. And Matthew 26:14-16 says, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and says, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from the moment he sought the opportunity to betray him, from that moment. And Luke 16:13 says, a servant cannot serve two masters. He will hate the first master and love the second, or he will be devoted to the first and despise the second. You cannot serve Yahweh and serve money. And this is happening. This is the issue. We have to remember, you cannot walk around with the Rahadat Kodesh, the Holy Spirit, and at the same time feel good about living in sin. I say it all the time. We might struggle with it, but we're going to hate it. It's going to torment us. We can't feel that it's right or it's good. No. You cannot walk around with the Holy Spirit and think that it's okay to live in sin. And this is a problem with many so-called people that confess Yeshua as Messiah. This is a big problem. And remember the spiritual battle that's consistently going on that I speak about in all of these devotionals. The spiritual battle that's unseen, but is there. And the enemy is trying to get in. He's trying to find a way in. And you know what? When you're not humble, that's what you're doing. You're letting him in. You're letting the enemy in when you're not humble, when you're prideful. The Bible is a book of opposites. Good versus evil, life versus death, blessings versus curses, and pride versus humility. It's a book of opposites. John 13, 27 and 30 says, as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Yeshua told him, what you are about to do, do quickly. But no one at the meal understood why Yeshua said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought that Yeshua was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out and it was night. John 5:18 says, we know that anyone born of Yahweh does not continue to sin. The one who was born of Yahweh keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. Do you understand when you have the Radak Kodesh and you continually hate sin, eventually you'll be able to repent and not commit those same sins. But when you take joy in those sins and practice those sins, you will never be set free. 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are children of Yahweh, that the world around us is under the control. We know that we are the children of Yahweh and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. Yeshua said, right to Judas's face, he said, then Jesus said in John 6:70, I chose the 12 of you, but one is a devil. It would have been better off if you were never born. Matthew 26, verses 20 to 24. When evening came, Yeshua was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to him one after another, surely you don't need me. Yeshua replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as if it was written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had never been born. And the scriptures teach us, woe to the prideful. Woe to the prideful. Doom for destruction. John 17, 11 to 12 says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming for you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name and the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are while I was with them. I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave them. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, that scripture would be fulfilled. Of all the disciples that walked with Yeshua, Judas was the only unclean one, the only one that betrayed him, the only one that didn't love him more than the money of this world. It says in John 13:8-11, Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Yeshua answered him, if I wash the feet, thou hast no part in with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Yahweh, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Yeshua said to him, he that is washed needs not to save to the wash his feet, but is clean in every way. And he that are clean, but not at all. For he knew that who should betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. We have to understand many people that confess Yeshua are not truly believers. Matthew 7:21-23 says, not everyone who keeps saying to me, Lord, Lord, will we get into the kingdom from heaven, but only by the person who keeps doing the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, drove out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name, didn't we? Then I will tell you, I never knew you. Get away from me, who practice evil. Who practice evil. Who make a life of living in sin. Who are prideful while they're doing it. The scriptures are very clear about pride and what must be stripped. It says in Ezekiel 28:17, your heart was proud because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I exposed you before the kings to feast their eyes on you. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Do we get that? Do we get that? And in 18:12 of Proverbs, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. We must seek humility. We must seek humility. Proverbs 29:23 says, a person's pride will humble them, but the humble spirit will gain, but a humble spirit will gain honor. We must get this. And we must be careful with this. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Psalms 131:1, a song of David says, my heart is not proud, Yahweh. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. Galatians 6:3 says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. We need to understand about pride and humility. We need to get this. Those of you that have ears to hear will understand this. James 4:6 says, but he gives us more grace. This is why it says, Yahweh opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Jeremiah 5:21 says, hear this, you foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. And Romans 2:8 says, but for those who are self-seeking, and who reject the truth and follow evil, they will be wrath and anger. There are so many people that think they're nice according to this world's ways and everything in this way, and they take pride in their good deeds and everything else. But it only comes through Yeshua. It says, follow me, to give up our life, to follow him. That's not having an idol. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to Yahweh, or surely he will not be unpunished. Proverbs 6:16-17 says, there are six things that Yahweh hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. We need to repent and strip this pride and ask our creator to humble us. Our prayer shouldn't be, I want this and I want that. Our prayer should be, humble me. Humble me. Humble me. Those of you that think you know it all, you know nothing. That's just a prideful statement of thought. John, 1 John 2:15-17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of Yahweh lives forever. Do you understand the will of Yahweh, following him? James 4:14-16 says, while you do not even know what will happen tomorrow, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is Yahweh's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant scams, all such boasting of evil. Our goal should be to have Yahweh's glory. And pride keeps us away from that. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of Yahweh. To follow his words, to understand the importance of it. We have to understand this. We have to get it. We have to understand and embrace the idea of humility according to the word and what the scriptures talk about humility. Philippians 2:6-8 says, whoever being in the very nature of Yahweh did not consider equality with Yahweh something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace of Yahweh, Yeshua our Messiah, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that though he might live in poverty, and he so he could become rich. And Romans 15, 3 says, for even Yeshua did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. We need to humble ourselves to imitate this example of Yeshua. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before Yahweh, and he will lift you up in honor. We read it. Philippians 2:5 says, let the mind in you, which was also in Yeshua, let this mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua Messiah. And Micah 6:8 says, know, O people, Yahweh has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. To walk humbly with God. 1 Samuel 2:7 says, Yahweh sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. That's what we have to understand. Deuteronomy 8, verses 2 to 3 says, remember how Yahweh your God led you all the way into the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know that what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither nor you or your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh. Without humility, you will not want to confess your sins, and you will lie to yourself. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and they will heal and I will heal their land. There's an easy way and there's a hard way to humble yourself. And we must seek Yahweh. We must seek Yahweh and become a servant. Matthew 23:10 to 12 says, and do not be called master either, because you have one master, Messiah. The greatest among you will be a servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. I hope and pray we get this message today. I hope we understand what we're talking about. And I hope we all could live in humility. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise our wonderful Creator for this day he has made. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
Say goodbye to yesterday. Nothing standing in my way. There was a guarantee, but in my heart.